This week, we've got a great announcement regarding the Lyceum, the former educational publication of the Grand Lodge of Illinois. That's right, the former. What could be happening with the Lyceum? Could it be coming out from underneath the umbrella of a particular Grand Lodge? Maybe. We've got a bunch of news regarding that. Then we're going to read an all-new piece that was penned by yours truly about leadership, or how to pretend to be relevant. In a piece where I'm taking apart the idea of focusing on leadership and instead shifting that focus over to the philosophies and tenets of Freemasonry, and of course leadership then follows. All this and more. Stay tuned.
Welcome back to Whence Came You, a Masonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry. Here's your host, Brother Robert Johnson.
Welcome back. This is episode number 621. Happy New Year, everybody. I hope you all are off to a great start and are enjoying yourselves out there. At the beginning of the year, of course, I need to give a huge shout out to our supporters, those contributors, fellows, producers, and legacy partners who make this show possible each and every week, with the exception, of course, of the last couple weeks of the year, so that we can all enjoy time with family. If you are interested in learning how to support this program, go to our website at wcypodcast.com, click on Support the Show, and check out your various options. We have Patreon and PayPal and a shop, bookstores, affiliates, all kinds of great things out there just for you. In the news, well, at least one giant piece of news has happened. In the last few months, of course, there have been some changes, as always, at the Grand Lodge level. Here in Illinois, there have been some committeemen changes, and I am no longer on the Grand Lodge Committee of Masonic Education. As it happens, each year or every couple of years, Grand Lodges have turnover and new Grand Masters come in, and they have new visions and other things that they would like to happen. And this is their prerogative, of course. And with all the respect, we step aside and let them do their thing. In this new direction, there has been sort of a gutting of Masonic education as it was previously. They are obviously going to be doing something with Masonic education. I am just not privy to what it is. So, in that way, many of you know that we had been producing for the Grand Lodge of Illinois a Masonic publication called The Lyceum. Now, The Lyceum, of course, was an e-magazine that dealt with Masonic education. So, a supplement to the members of the Grand Jurisdiction of the State of Illinois each month, they would email this e-magazine that we created out to all of the members of the Grand Lodge of Illinois who had valid email addresses. And this was a great success. We had many brothers from all around the world who would read this publication because it was an e-publication. Masons in Illinois would get it and send it out, or they would pick it up on our Facebook page, or even on Scribd. I think we had our issues posted there as well. Well, we also had partnered with the Illinois Lodge of Research to put those up. And as it has it, of course, I was, again, the main person behind the magazine. So not being a part of the committee anymore, what I had decided to do was to use the Lyceum continuously. So we have taken past issues and removed any elements that we could that related to Grand Lodge, any specific Grand Lodge thing, and we also rebranded them with the seal of the Masonic Education Alliance. So I'll give you just a little bit of news on this and let you know that right away, the big reveal is that the Lyceum will be coming back after 3 or 4 months now, but as a publication for larger scope education in the Masonic realm, not tied to any one jurisdiction, and no longer under the authority of any Masonic Grand Lodge. So, a little bit about it. The Lyceum is an e-magazine dedicated to truth and progress in Freemasonry. It has undergone a necessary evolution in order to adapt to changing circumstances. Originally a publication of the Committee on Masonic Education of the Grand Lodge of Illinois, the magazine was the collaborative effort of two committee members, myself, of course, and Brother Darren Lainers. However, with the departure of one member, myself, and the Grand Lodge's change in direction, the Lyceum faced the threat of going defunct. In response, all previous issues have been rebranded, removing any association with the Grand Lodge of Illinois. While previous versions may still be available on certain websites, they are no longer offered by the publisher, me. These changes in branding ensure that the Lyceum can continue as a free and independent publication focused on promoting truth and progress in Freemasonry, regardless of oppositional forces in any Grand Lodge organization. It is important to note that the content, authors, and publishers of the Lyceum do not represent any statements or positions of any Grand Lodge, unless expressly stated. The details. The Masonic Education Alliance, a groundbreaking initiative, has emerged as a beacon of light in the realm of Freemasonry. Born out of the necessity to bridge the gap left by dwindling education committees with various grand jurisdictions, this alliance has taken on the responsibility of providing a limitless educational magazine dedicated to all things Freemasonry. Unrestricted by the restraints of any particular jurisdiction, the alliance unites Masonic scholars, writers, and enthusiasts from around the world to create a platform where knowledge can flow freely and uninhibited. In the past, education committees were the pillars of Masonic educational activities, disseminating knowledge and fostering a deeper understanding of the craft within their respective jurisdictions. However, due to various circumstances, these committees have been effectively gutted, leaving a void in the educational landscape of Freemasonry. Recognizing this critical need for a comprehensive educational platform, the Masonic Education Alliance was formed. Unlike traditional Masonic publications, which are often confined by the limitations of a specific grand jurisdiction, the Masonic Education Alliance embraces the power of collaboration and inclusivity. Its mission is to foster a love for learning, share profound insights, and explore all aspects of Freemasonry in an unbiased and global manner. By removing these boundaries, the Alliance opens doors for Masons and non-Masons alike to delve into the mysteries, history, philosophy, and symbolism of Freemasonry from diverse perspectives. Through the publication of a cutting-edge digital e-magazine, the Masonic Education Alliance brings forth a wealth of articles, essays, research papers, and creative works that elevate the intellectual understanding of Freemasonry. Drawing upon the expertise of its contributors, the Alliance takes readers on a journey of intellectual expansion, inviting them to explore the depths of Masonic teachings and traditions. In this rapidly changing world, where traditional modes of education are transforming, the Masonic Education Alliance stands as a beacon of progress and innovation. By harnessing the power of technology, this alliance is able to disseminate knowledge to a wide audience across continents and jurisdictions. As a digital platform, the alliance ensures that no Mason is left behind, and that access to Masonic education is available to all seekers, regardless of geographical boundaries or political constraints. In essence, the Masonic Education Alliance is more than just a magazine. It is a revolution in Masonic education, with an unwavering commitment to intellectual growth, unlimited collaboration, and global connectivity. The Alliance cultivates a vibrant and dynamic community of Freemasons hungry for knowledge. Together, members of the Alliance strive to preserve the essence of Freemasonry while embracing the transformative power of education in an ever-evolving world. A little about the seal. You'll notice that there is a seal that appears on the front of each issue of the Lyceum. And the seal of the Masonic Education Alliance embodies the organization's commitment to providing rich and unbiased content to its readers. So the golden hue represents the wealth of knowledge and information offered, while the borders ensure the protection of the Alliance from external influences and attacks. The square symbolizes the Alliance's dedication to staying true to its research and providing accurate information to its readers. The presence of the all-seeing eye signifies the recognition of a higher power, while the book represents the book of nature, with a stalk of vegetation on one page and an illustration of a germ and the solar system on the other. Absent is the compass, for the search for knowledge knows no boundaries. You can find all the current issues at wcypodcast.com/the-lyceum, L-Y-C-U-M. And all of what I just read to you is what is on the page. You can read the current issue, which came from, was the August-September issue, Volume 3, Number 7. And that appears there. You can read all past issues. So we've got issues 1 through 6 from Volume 3, issues 1 through 12 in Volume 2, and issues 1 through 5 in Volume 1. Now, with this organization, there has to be some sort of semblance of real collaboration that's documented. And as such, there are, at current, 4 board members of the Masonic Education Alliance. Those board members are Darren A. Lehners from the Midwest, myself, representing the Midwest as well, Brother Joe Martinez, representing the East Coast, perhaps a newer name to some of you, Brother Robert Stevieri, who lives on the West Coast in California. Together, we'll be working toward bringing you some great educational content, original articles and things. We'll try to get them out monthly. All past issues and current issues are of no cost. They're just out there. We're doing it as a labor of love and to assist all those out there looking for some Masonic education. So next up, I'd like to read a piece penned while, after having a couple coffees, probably too many Red Bulls, and, well, definitely way too much on my mind. But that's usually when the best of my writing comes out. Or, to some, it might be the worst. Recently, in my Grand Jurisdiction's Facebook page, there have been a number of surveys-type questions related to leadership in the craft. I found that those questions were good questions, and that the motivation behind the brother posting them was good. Now, this brother who comes up with these questions is a deep, esoteric, and knowledgeable brother. I would like to make sure and let everybody know this was not an attack on any one person. Rather, this was sort of an attack on the idea of a focus on leadership over all other things. After I posted it, I was very nervous that I was going to get a number of negative replies, of which I think I only maybe got one or two. However, what I did find is that a number of people took different things from this article that they were quoting around when sharing the article, and I thought that was very strange and interesting, considering all of those things taken together were probably not what I was focusing on, but nonetheless, I'm happy that they found something to latch onto or to identify within the piece, and maybe found a little bit of an advocate in reading what I had written. So without further ado, this is called Not Leadership, or How to Pretend to Be Relevant, by Midnight Freemason, Emeritus Contributor, Right Worshipful Brother R.H. Johnson, past District Deputy Grand Master. I'm not going to read you the TLDR that I put at the top of the piece until the end, because I'm reading it for you. So, here we go. Freemasonry's job, responsibility, or position isn't to teach leadership. This opaque focus seems to be a trend that certain grand lodges or grand jurisdictions attempt to lock onto. It's obvious why we do it. It's something tangible and or practical that, as men in modern times, we can use in our daily toolbox. However, that's not why this fraternity exists. I will say this right now. Leadership skills can be developed and honed within the fraternity, just like in any organization where one takes an earnest part. To be clear, we're not unique in building leadership skills. The last time I checked, leadership is not a secret. It is not a mystical element. It is not a spiritual element. It is simply a tool to assist the human in navigating the various functions of life. If we are focusing on leadership for any tangible reason, perhaps it's just that the West Gate has been left unguarded for so long that we find ourselves flooded with dullards and incompetent men. So much so that we find our only recourse, our only response, is to offer some Masonically themed remedial leadership training packaged as something relevant, a la TED Talk. We must also ask the pertinent question. If we are to teach leadership, then who are the teachers? Indeed, those who lead our fraternity are not always in positions of leadership for their ability to lead. More often than not, it's who you know, and more often than that, cronyism. To lead an organization, one must be at the forefront of thinking. They must be progressive. They need an understanding of various business disciplines, such as budgeting, profits and losses, marketing, and an overall vision, which should, if we're to try Freemasonry, as past Grand Master Dwight L. Smith said it so plainly, harken back to the very reason our organization was founded in the first place. What past Grand Master Smith is referring to when he says try Freemasonry isn't leadership. While not always true, but true enough, a well-respected Freemason in my grand jurisdiction named Ralph once said, "Men who aspire to title and rank in Freemasonry never made it in business." Why bring this up? Because what we commonly see are men with a psychological void within their lives. Many of these ilk, likely, were never given a chance to be genuine, respected leaders, and so they focus on their opportunities to grow and become leaders within our fraternity, whether they are qualified or not. Never mind the issues of the aforementioned cronyism or odd appointment choices within our organization. Oh, and don't forget the, hey, they've been in line for so long. It's high time we get back to what Freemasonry was all about, outlined in some of our earliest documents. They are those things that contemporary Masonic authors are writing about today. Go ahead and search Freemasonry all over the internet. You'll find only a few books on the practical nature of the craft. Two of them might even be written by yours truly. The other, Matt Gallagher's excellent book, Practical Masonry, is wonderful. Other than these, 99% of the books are philosophically based, spiritually minded, and generally speaking, esoteric in nature. By and large, our Grand Lodges are the only people writing anything of substance on Freemasonry in the realm of administration leadership. Nobody interested in Freemasonry, outside people looking to grow membership, writes about these administrative and leadership things. This begs the question, why are Grand Lodges focusing on them? For them, it's a membership value. To most, it's a last-ditch effort to find something meaningful and tangible for the modern man to grab onto. Why? Because we don't know how to teach anything else. The secret to leadership in Freemasonry is often, I say you do something and you do it. I say jump, you say how high. That's it. If you follow the rules, donate to the charities, hobnob with the right folks, and don't make waves, you'll find yourself creeping up the ladder, perhaps even one day wearing the purple of the fraternity. To avoid painting the fraternity with too large a brush, it must go without saying that there are those within our craft who have reached the top, and many of them have had a clear vision of what Freemasonry represents. It takes courage to stand up for what you believe in, especially when the goals set by previous leaders may not align with your own. For instance, instead of focusing solely on membership increases, you may emphasize education. Not just the knowledge that men can acquire outside the craft, but something more profound. I recall a particular instance when I had dinner with a Master Mason from my jurisdiction who had been named Mason of the Year by our grand jurisdiction. He was a retired Master Chief for the U.S. Navy, who told us about a mischievous recruit and the punishments he had received. When the recruit's mother finally got in touch with the Master Chief, she began to yell at him about her son's situation, claiming it was the Navy's job to make him a man. The Master Chief calmly said to the squawking mother, "No, ma'am. Your job was to make him a man, and my job is to make him a soldier." He then hung up on her. This story resonates with Freemasonry. Too many of those in positions of authority and power take the position that it is somehow Freemasonry's job to pick up where their families and social circles failed. As for the mission of the Worshipful Master, it's written in many jurisdictions that the Worshipful Master is to impart wise and important truths. This is especially important given that Freemasonry is focused on esoteric practices. If you want to improve your public speaking skills, I recommend joining Toastmasters. The armed services, collegiate programs, or regional occupation programs are all excellent options for leadership training. Far better than we are, anyway. As I stated earlier, leadership can be developed within the fraternity. And this is no different than any other institution. Good leadership grows within individuals who have a healthy relationship with the craft. And it grows at the speed of the individual. It's not the point within the circle by any means. Here we are, jurisdiction by jurisdiction, consistently focus on this one element. And I will repeat it. Leadership training should not be the primary focus of Freemasonry. Officer training? Awesome. Learning about running a meeting using rules of order and jurisprudence? Wonderful. Learning the meaning of the Grand Lodge Code? Beautiful. This isn't what we are talking about. And this brings us to what we need to focus on. Freemasonry should be centered on the education of individual members, which covers a wide range of philosophies related to self and their relationship to the Grand Architect. It is, after all, what those working tools represent. Psychological aspects that reform how we act and think. Any administrative leader within the craft who cannot understand this simple idea has no place within the administration of the fraternity. It's foundational. I'd be willing to bet this plain truth has eluded too many well-meaning brothers. Freemasonry's leadership seems to have recognized the need to offer something valuable to its members, which they believe to be an innovative approach. I quote famed Masonic author Walter Leslie Wilmshurst and hope they continue to evolve their thinking. It is absurd to think that a vast organization like Masonry was ordained merely to teach to grown-up men of the world the symbolical meaning of a few simple builder's tools, or to impress upon us such elementary virtues as temperance and justice. The children in every village school are taught such things, or to enforce such simple principles of morals as brotherly love, which every church and every religion teaches, or as relief, which is practiced quite as much by non-Masons as by us, or of truth, which every infant learns upon its mother's knee. There is surely, too, no need for us to join a secret society to be taught that the volume of sacred law is a fountain of truth and instruction, or to go through the great and elaborate ceremony of the third degree merely to learn that we have each to die. The craft whose work we are taught to honor with the name of science, a royal art, has surely some larger end in view than merely inculcating the practice of social virtues common to all the world and by no means the monopoly of Freemasons. Surely then it behooves us to acquaint ourselves with what the larger end consists of, to inquire why the fulfillment of that purpose is worthy of being called a science, and to ascertain what those mysteries to which our doctrine promises we may ultimately attain if we apply ourselves assiduously enough to understanding what Masonry is capable of teaching us. End quote. If Freemasonry wants leadership in the community, it should attract leaders rather than attempt to teach leadership by a brother who has the capacity in their life to dedicate. Let's remember that iron sharpens iron. At the beginning of the article, I offered a TLDR, or a too long didn't read, and there were three bullets, and those are these. 1. Freemasonry as an organization has no stance, responsibility, or obligation to teach leadership. Leadership can be learned within Freemasonry, but it is no different than how it is learned in other organizations, including real-life work experience. We are not special, which means it isn't our mission. And lastly, there is nothing wrong with hosting leadership training, as long as it is 1. Secondary or tertiary to the understanding, application, and continuing study of the philosophy of Freemasonry. 2. Does not demand a Grand Lodge budget line item expense that surpasses that of Masonic education. 3. Qualified individuals who are leaders in the real world with actual credentials and have resumes that have been validated must lead these workshops or camps. Well, there you have it. Of course, I have plastered this all over the net last week, I think. And if you are so inclined, feel free to share it with your brothers or share this episode out there with anybody you like. Again, my goal with this was not to ruffle feathers, but to simply point out that the reason for the craft is one thing, and that is the betterment of the individual, which happens through a process of Masonic education tied to the philosophies and tenets of the organization, of which modern interpretations of these things, of which in an attempt to be relevant to the everyday man, we have focused, in my opinion, erroneously on topics and subjects that many other organizations teach, and teach way better than we do. So, in order to do what we should be doing, it needs to come back to trying Freemasonry, as Dwight L. Smith once put it in his wonderful work. The primary goal, in my opinion, is that we focus on the philosophy of the craft rather than the profane topics of leadership. And, you know, posting this around, I think a number of brothers, including, I'll name drop here, because Brother Chuck Dunning had recently commented on this, and he essentially, well, in paraphrasing, he said, if you focus on the philosophy, then these leadership skills and other things follow naturally. That's that. I hope you liked this episode this week and enjoyed the announcement about the Lyceum and this piece. We'll be back next week with some all-new articles as well as some great segments. I encourage you all, if you can't get enough Masonic podcasts, to check out the Masonic Roundtable that goes live on Thursday nights at 9:30 Eastern, 8:30 Central. And, of course, this podcast comes out on Sunday nights. Sometimes it gets pushed into the wee hours of Monday, but most of the time, Sunday nights at 9:30 is my goal. So until next week, everybody, I hope you all have a wonderful time this upcoming week. To our supporters, the fellows, contributors, legacy partners, and producers, thank you guys so much for your assistance with the production of this show. It makes all of it possible. It allows us to make the Lyceum, this free kind of magazine for everybody out there, all of this stuff. So again, really very genuinely thankful to you all, and I feel very privileged to be able to do this. So again, thanks again. We'll talk to you all next week, but until then, stay on the level. For Whence Came You, I'm Robert Johnson. Take care.
You've been listening to Whence Came You, a Masonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry with your host, Brother Robert Johnson. Be sure to join us for our next edition.
WCY Media.
Yeah.